It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and I'm standing at the moment outside the State Hygienic Laboratory in Coralville. Last spring, the University of Iowa debuted a museum on wheels, and maybe you had a chance to visit it. It was all around the state last year. It's been traveling, bringing natural history and other fascinating aspects of Iowa history to Iowans, and I'm standing outside of the Museum on Wheels. It's the mobile museum educator, J.C. Gillette. Hi, J.C.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Before we step inside, so that people can recognize it when they see it at a fairgrounds or wherever, on Ragbri, I know it's there. This is a very large refurbished RV, I guess you would describe it as.
That's the best way to describe it, yes. It's a 38-foot Winnebago RV that is all decked out in black and gold with Dare to Discover and Mobile Museum all across it. Plus, we also have our three physical exhibits, posters for those, on the outside. So
let's step in inside and we'll look at the get a quick overview of the exhibits this year. It's been completely redone since last year. So if you saw it last year, there are three new exhibits. There's nothing in there from last year. We're going to be talking about water underground, the science of Iowa's most essential resource, Hawkeyes in space, space exploration at the University of Iowa, and Iowans in World War II. Let's step inside, huh, JC?
All right.
Okay, you've brought me over to physics and space research. We're talking about Iowa, University of Iowa's role in space research. Tell us about it.
You can't think of space research without thinking of Iowa. So we decided to start with James Van Allen, all the way back in the 1950s with the Lokey Raccoons. We have one of the innards of one of those raccoons on display. Then we travel along the timeline, kind of through various launches and missions that the university was part of, all the way up until the present, with the Van Allen probes, which are dedicated to James Van Allen. They are studying the Van Allen radiation belts more.
So what you actually, what's interesting about this exhibit is, I see here, is you actually see these rocket tubes. You see James Van Allen in archive photos holding up these probes, these rockets, but here you have displayed the innards, so it's not often you get to see inside a probe with all the electronics that go into it.
Exactly, and that's why they are highlighted as such, because you always see the outside, but it's cool to take a look at the inside and really see what makes it work. And the nice thing about the Explorer 1 rocket inside we have is if you look close, you can actually see a battery from the 1950s.
Okay, yes, it says Eveready battery. Looks like something from my childhood, perhaps. Okay, just next door in this mobile museum is a tribute, an exhibit that talks about Iowans in World War II, JC.
Yes, so we have... as with the Special Collections, partnered to bring you the story of several different people through World War II, but we focus around two people. That's Lloyd and Laura Davis and their correspondence throughout the war. Well, he was over there, but she was back here in Iowa, still working, still running the household, and so it's a neat correspondence. You see there are much more of her letters than his, and that's just because he always didn't have time to write. In one of his letters, he actually talks about he hasn't received any mail from her in 42 days or something like that. And then the very next letter you read, he says, I received all of your letters at once.
JC, this is really interesting. We see very clearly that the censors have been at work on some of these letters, of course, during wartime. A lot of things that you don't want to risk getting out. Here's one from Laura to Lloyd, dated Cedar Rapids, June 17th, 1945. From Laura to Lloyd, when I got back from Des Moines last night, your letter of May 26th with waiting for me, I'm so happy about that letter. Any letter from you is good. But when you know your letter is being censored, it wasn't opened at the post either, you don't write as personally. So this is the first uncensored letter, and it seemed more like you were telling me secrets. That is good. I can't operate on a monologue forever. So wars these days. We have emails, we have the internet. This is back in a day when you waited weeks for letters from your loved ones going back and forth over the Atlantic in this case.
Yeah, and that's what makes this special. Today we take for granted the wonders of communication. Yeah, they wrote letters back and forth, and like she describes in her letter, you don't always get them. It takes a while to get them, and so receiving that letter made her ecstatic just to know he was still alive and still responding to her. It's a really neat story, and it's complemented by a lot of really cool artifacts. One of the highlights is a piece from a German tank.
We'll put a picture of that on our website too. This it looks like a piece of a German tank with a viewing apparatus. What part is that?
Well, that's the thing. We're not exactly sure what part it is. And that's one of our goals this summer, is to get people to help identify this as well as their own stories from family members in World War II.
And a really interesting connection I'm seeing in the note on that piece taken from a German tank. It says, "This device was removed from a German tank by James A. Leach, father of former U.S. Representative and NEH chairman, current University of Iowa law professor, James Leach." It turns out that his father served with General Patton in the European theater in World War II. So it's very, very interesting. Okay, JC, please take us to the third and final exhibit in this year's Mobile Museum from the University of Iowa.
So we are in the back of the bus, and this exhibit is called Water Underground, the Science of Iowa's Most Essential Research, which is really cool because we start at the atomic level talking about the chemistry of water. And we answer questions like, why does a snowflake have six sides? Why do ice cubes float? These questions that you might not always think of, but are interesting when you really get down deep in the science. Then, as it transitions, we obviously want to have an Iowa connection, so what better way than to talk about our aquifer systems and the water we drink? You'll see we have samples from all the different aquifers that Iowans all across the state drink from. And then transitioning out of the aquifers, this drinking water isn't always safe, and so we talk about the arsenic that is in Iowa's water, which we demonstrate beautifully over here on our side case. You have a private well water, an Oakdale well water, some Coralville public water, and then water with different levels of arsenic in it.
Very interesting. Water quality becoming water scarcity and water quality becoming more and more an issue across the United States. So it's clear to me, do you want to say any further words of why you focused on water this year?
Well, water is important. And right now I believe there are 127 or more researchers at the university doing water research and water quality. And so we thought, why not water? Let's take it out and let's show people what they're drinking.
Take a good look at something that we all take for granted, and I, for one, waste far too much of. J.C. Gillette, thank you very much. Mobile Museum Educator. You'll be driving this giant mobile museum around Iowa in the coming year?
Oh, absolutely. Where it goes, I go, and I'm excited, and I want to get out, and I want to meet every Iowan that I can. We're going to be all over, like you said, RAGBRAI, State Fair, and many more.
Okay, county fairs, state fairs. Can we find out online where the mobile museum will be at any given time?
Absolutely, yes. You can find out from our website, discover.research.uiowa.edu.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, we'll have some pictures on our website of the exhibits. J.C. Gillette, thanks very much for the conversation.
Thank you.